Welcome to the show. If you're watching this, you've probably seen my videos in which I discuss the truth of the income tax, which is that Congress has never imposed a tax on ordinary, hardworking Americans like you. You're also aware that I never just say that. 100% of the time, I back it up with indisputable legal evidence. So then, understanding that, who in the United States government knows the truth and is committing one of the most egregious criminal acts in history by intentionally hiding the truth from the American people? You're going to be shocked when I share with you who knows the truth and who does not. Many of the people you've been certain know the truth don't. And people in government who have never crossed your mind do know. But here's the cool thing. The government's need to keep the scam alive by hiding the truth is great news for you. As we proceed, you're going to discover how powerful you are and how weak the IRS is. Once you understand the game that's being played, it's a breeze to safely leave their scam behind and keep what's yours. You can stop giving your money to a rapacious government that uses it to do things with which many of you vehemently disagree.
The Dr. Reality Vodcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. The truth of the income tax is my wheelhouse and has been for more than three decades. I'm the author of Income Tax Shattering the Myth, the best-selling book in the country on the truth of the income tax. I speak nationally on the subject and haven't filed an income tax return or paid a penny of income tax in 32 years. Why haven't I filed or paid in 32 years? Because I know what the law says. Why do millions of Americans file a 1040 every year? Because they don't know what the law says. Before we jump into who in the United States government knows the government is committing the largest financial crime in history, let's acknowledge the fact that the government's propaganda on this subject has been astoundingly successful. Despite the fact that the truth has been known for at least 50 years and Income Tax Shattering the Myth was published in 2010, I'd guess that probably 98% of the American people still believe the income tax has been imposed on ordinary, hardworking Americans. I think you would agree that keeping 98% of the U.S. population believing a massive con job is pretty damn impressive. What you're going to hear today is disturbing, but there's something you should keep in mind as we go through today's material. What you're going to hear will empower you to safely walk away from the scam because you will discover what is kryptonite to those hiding the truth from the American people. That kryptonite is why, after 32 years of not paying and filing, I'm able to sit here and educate you about that kryptonite. Let's start with a 30,000-foot question. Does anyone in the government know the truth about the income tax? That answer is an unequivocal yes. How do we know that? To answer that, I need to give you a bit of background on the income tax. After you have that under your belt, you will see for yourself why we know there are people in the government who know the truth. The background information will only take about 90 seconds. Do you have your stopwatch ready? All right, here we go. Congress has imposed the income tax on two classes of persons and made a third class responsible for paying the tax imposed on the first two. Here is the first class. Congress imposed the income tax on non-resident aliens with U.S. source income. Here is the second class. Congress imposed the income tax on foreign corporations with U.S. source income. Now we come to the people Congress has made responsible for paying the tax imposed on the first two. Those made responsible for paying the tax are U.S. citizens, U.S. residents, and domestic corporations that have custody and control of U.S. source income belonging to a non-resident alien or foreign corporation. A U.S. citizen, U.S. resident, or domestic corporation having custody and control of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person is referred to in tax law as a U.S. person and is required to withhold the income tax before sending the foreign person's U.S. source income out of the country. The reason for that is if a foreign person's U.S. source income was sent out of the country, out of U.S. jurisdiction, why would a foreign person pay anything to the United States Treasury? Obviously, they wouldn't. To prevent that, the U.S. person must withhold income tax before sending the income offshore. Once the U.S. person withholds the tax, he is required to file a return and pay the withheld tax over to the United States Treasury. With that understanding under your belt, now I can tell you how we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that certain people in the federal government absolutely know the truth we've just discussed. The reason we know that is because every single income tax statute, regulation, and Treasury decision since the tax was enacted in 1913 remains impeccably within the boundaries we just discussed. If no one in the government knew the truth, then the propaganda-driven false societal narrative that the income tax applies to the money earned by ordinary Americans to sustain themselves would appear in the law. But it doesn't. If no one in the government knows the truth, then who in government has been and continues to prevent the false narrative from appearing in the law? I think it's obvious that if everyone in the Treasury Department believed the false societal narrative that the income tax applies to the money ordinary Americans earn to sustain themselves, then over 112 years, that falsehood would have found its way into the law. But it hasn't. Over the span of 112 years, 100% of the statutes, regs, and Treasury decisions have remained applicable solely to the three classes we discussed a moment ago. So then, who exactly in the federal government knows the truth and is ensuring that the current and future income tax laws remain within the proper constitutional boundaries? The IRS has 100,000 employees. So how many of those 100,000 do you imagine know the truth about the income tax? Ponder that for a minute. Pick a number. Do you have a number in mind? Okay, so right off the bat, I should tell you that no one knows the exact number. What we do know is that job one for the very small number of people who know the truth is to ensure the American people never find out. What a great servant government. I'm confident we can all agree that the ordinary rank and file IRS employees do not know the truth. Having agreed on that, let's consider who else does not know. The Secretary of the Treasury does not know. The Chief Counsel of the Treasury Department does not know. The Commissioner of the IRS does not know. And the IRS Chief Counsel does not know. Why do those officials not know? Do you remember that a moment ago I said job one is to ensure the American people never learn the truth? Well, the Secretary of the Treasury, Treasury's Chief Counsel, the IRS Commissioner, and the IRS Chief Counsel are political appointees. In other words, they're political hacks. They come on board only for the duration of the particular White House's administration, and then they're gone. A sure way for the truth to get out is to tell it to political hacks who will almost certainly use it as leverage at some point for something they want and go public with it if they don't get what they're after. Does the president know? Absolutely not. Why? Because the president is also a politician, coupled with the fact that from the perspective of those who've been safeguarding the secret for decades, the president has no reason to know. Does anyone in Congress know? That's highly unlikely because all 535 elected office holders are politicians. And again, those who've been safeguarding the secret for decades are loath to bring any politician into their circle of trust. There is another reason the cabal doesn't want to tell anyone outside their very small circle. Those who know the truth are protecting the largest financial crime in world history. Imagine if those who know the truth told the wrong person, and that person was so shocked and appalled, he or she went public with it. Since that hasn't happened in 112 years, I think it's safe to assume the cabal is very selective and has very strict criteria. How does the U.S. intelligence community choose its assassins? Well, they find people who are fine with killing whoever they are told to kill. The intelligence community approaches people who it knows don't see human life as meaningful and have no issue killing people. For them, it's just a job. The government compensates its assassins generously so that they have no financial reason to disclose their actions. That's the carrot. As you might imagine, there is also the stick, which can be spending the rest of one's life in prison in a CIA black site, or threats against the assassin's family, or the knowledge that another assassin can be ordered to kill him. In short, a government assassin can live a wonderful life of ease and luxury, or his life can be turned into a living hell by the government. It doesn't take a genius to figure out which type of life the assassins choose. The same kind of personality assessment and the carrot and the stick approach of reward and punishment must certainly be part of the decision-making process before the cabal brings someone into the fold. Remember, the cabal is protecting a scam that brings in just shy of $3 trillion a year. I leave it up to you to decide if those protecting $3 trillion a year would employ tools such as lucrative off-the-books financial rewards, blackmail, and even violence to keep the secret from being exposed. Some of you might be thinking, Dave, you've been spreading the truth for more than 3 decades. Why haven't they gone after you? I like that question. It shows you're thinking. Here's the answer. They don't care about me because their smear tactic game is strong. Anytime they want, they can use the full power of the United States government to make me look like a wackadoodle extremist. And of course, they have plenty of media outlets that will publish whatever falsehoods the government tells them to. As an example, if I were a guest on the Joe Rogan podcast, I imagine the next day the government would launch a massive smear campaign against me. That said, I doubt it would come to that because I'm confident the government has ways to persuade people like Rogan not to have me as a guest. In fact, I'm aware of a podcaster on a major platform whose contract prohibits him from discussing the income tax on his show. Do you imagine the podcast platform came up with that restriction on its own? Of course not. Someone at Treasury persuaded them to put it in their contract. Perhaps the same restriction is in Rogan's contract. As a side note, in Income Tax Shattering the Myths, I talk about how easy it would be for the government to kill me. While I'm not going to get into that today, I will say this. If the government ever says its agents killed me because I pulled a gun on them or that I committed suicide, they murdered me and they're covering it up. What the cabal must prevent at all costs is one of their own going public, because the members of the cabal hold senior government positions in which they have direct involvement with the scam. In other words, if one of the cabal went public, he or she would be speaking from firsthand involvement as a high-ranking government executive and could identify other members of the cabal. That is their fear, not me. So, what are the names of the people in the cabal? We obviously don't have a published list, but we can come up with some pretty focused conclusions. Since the cabal doesn't tell political appointees the truth, who in the IRS's executive suite knows the truth? The answer is those who've been there a long time and have taken on a wide range of executive assignments. For an IRS executive to be brought into the cabal, there can be no question that the person is 100% committed to the IRS. As an example, one such person is Edward Killen, who currently holds the position of Chief Tax Compliance Officer. Killen has held an astounding number of positions throughout the agency. Killen's IRS resume reads like someone who has been groomed for one of the top slots in the agency. I can't say for certain that Killen is part of the cabal, but he certainly checks all the boxes, including being an attorney. Killen's current position is Chief Tax Compliance Officer. At the IRS, compliance is a cute little euphemism for enforcement. In other words, Mr. Killen is the IRS's chief enforcement officer. That is a critical position in terms of protecting the scam, because the person who holds that position needs to understand when to stop enforcing the tax on certain people. There are circumstances in which the only way to keep the scam from being revealed is to stop enforcing the tax against certain people, and the chief enforcement officer has to know when to block his subordinates from any further enforcement actions. This is the kryptonite I mentioned earlier. Let me read to you from the famous Supreme Court income tax decision Bruce Shaper v. Union Pacific Railroad. Quote, "The Pollack case recognized the fact that taxation on income was, in its nature, an excise, entitled to be enforced as such, unless or until it was concluded that to enforce it would amount to accomplishing the result which the requirement as to apportionment of direct taxation was adopted to prevent." If you haven't read Income Tax Shattering the Myth, that quote may not mean much. If you have, you understand the consequence of Justice White's statement. The income tax is an excise. An excise tax is a tax upon the exercise of a government-granted privilege. Let me ask you a question. But before I do, allow me to remind you that the Supreme Court has repeatedly held that Americans have an unalienable right to earn a living. The court has also held that the government cannot convert a right into a privilege and then tax it as an excise. You just heard this U.S. Supreme Court say that income tax is an excise, which is a tax upon the exercise of a government-granted privilege. So then, when you go to work as a welder or a mechanic or a civil engineer or an office manager or any job by which you earn a living, what is the government-granted privilege you're exercising that makes you liable for the income tax? In the quote we just heard from Justice White, he was cautioning the government that if it enforced an excise tax upon people who are not exercising a government-granted privilege, then by virtue of that unconstitutional enforcement, the tax ceases to be a constitutionally permissible excise and becomes an unconstitutional direct tax absent apportionment. Again, if you haven't read Income Tax Shattering the Myths, the gravity of what I just explained may not be readily apparent. We're talking about a case or cases of unconstitutional IRS enforcement working their way to the Supreme Court and having the court declare that the IRS's enforcement actions converted the tax from an excise into an unconstitutional direct tax absent apportionment. Whether or not you were able to follow that legal argument, I'm sure you understand that the last thing the IRS wants is to engage in enforcement activities that empower American citizens to bring a federal court action, averring that the IRS has done exactly what Justice White warned the government not to do, and which would see the income tax declared unconstitutional. And to be clear, the court would not be saying that the income tax laws passed by Congress are unconstitutional. It would be saying that the IRS's enforcement methods had effectively converted the tax from what Congress passed into a type of tax never enacted by Congress. Phrased another way, the court would be saying that the IRS's unconstitutional enforcement meant it was enforcing a type of tax that doesn't exist in federal law. That's why the IRS executive in charge of enforcement, or someone just below him, has to know the truth about the income tax. He has to know the truth so that he can intercede and stop enforcement actions that would provide the legal basis for the Supreme Court to declare the income tax, as enforced, to be unconstitutional. Here's another way to look at it. A few minutes ago, I laid out for you that the income tax has been imposed on foreign persons with U.S. source income and Americans who choose to act as domestic agents of foreign persons and are required to withhold the tax and pay it to the IRS. That is the A to Z of the income tax. The thousands of pages of statutes, tens of thousands of pages of regulations and Treasury decisions all exist to administer the tax on U.S. source income belonging to foreign persons. The truth, which is laid out with crystal clarity in Income Tax Shattering the Myths, with mountains of incontrovertible evidence, is kryptonite to the government. The government cannot allow the law, correctly understood and properly presented, into a courtroom. One way the government presents that is by not enforcing the tax on those who show the IRS, through proper use of due process, that they are not within any of the three classes. The proper use of due process I just mentioned is a critical aspect of the kryptonite. If the IRS continues enforcing the tax upon a person who has used due process correctly to factually show that she is not within any of the three classes, then the target of the IRS's illegal enforcement may decide to file suit in a federal court which would bring the kryptonite into the courtroom. That they cannot allow, which is why the chief of enforcement has to know when to intercede and stop enforcement against the people who know the facts and law and present them correctly. Remember when I said you can safely walk away from the scam if you know how to use the IRS's need for subterfuge against them? This is what I'm talking about. We'll be discussing this a bit more as we move along. Before I continue, if you enjoy this kind of knowledge that you'll never get from any source other than this channel, please subscribe and hit the like button so the algorithms show this content to more people. Thank you. So, who else knows the truth? A few months ago, I released a presentation discussing the reasons the IRS is unable to update the 60-year-old mainframes and software at its Martinsburg, West Virginia computing center. The mainframes and software were installed in the 1960s. As discussed in that presentation, the six ancient IBM mainframes in Martinsburg contain the critical individual master files and business master files known as the IMF and BMF. The IMF and BMF files are the core of the IRS. Everything the IRS does is based on the content of the IMF and BMF records, which are maintained in those ancient mainframes. I share that to make the point, those ancient mainframes are programmed with the legal truth that the income tax applies only to the three classes we've discussed. In other words, the programming on those six mainframes is 100% compliant with the law. As you can imagine, whoever is in charge of those mainframes has to know the truth. Unfortunately, we don't know who that is. We know who the IRS's chief information officer is, but not the name of the guy who is in charge of maintaining the ancient mainframes. That guy knows the truth. I'd imagine the technician who is allowed to enter code into the mainframes using IBM's ancient basic assembly language also knows. He'd have to know in order to keep the system compliant with the law. A few minutes ago, I mentioned that the IRS chief counsel doesn't know. That said, there are 1,800 attorneys in the chief counsel's office, and you can bet your ass a few of them know. Of those 1,800 attorneys, my guess is perhaps a handful know the truth. The reason is that not only does the IRS need its chief enforcement officer to know when to stop enforcing, but if the kind of problem spoken of by Justice White appears to be developing and the matter winds up in the chief counsel's office, there have to be attorneys there who know the truth and can derail the case and keep the kryptonite out of the courtroom. The attorneys who know the truth are very senior because they must have the authority to remove a case from underlings who don't understand the mistake they're making. My supposition is there is one senior attorney who knows the truth assigned to each of the national service centers, which are in Ogden, Utah, Kansas City, Missouri, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Austin, Texas. That allows problems to be nipped in the bud at the service center level before a problem comes to the attention of the national office in DC. I estimate that no more than 10 people in the IRS know the truth. 10 people out of 100,000. That should give you some idea of how important it is to keep the truth hidden so they can keep the scam going. Let's shift gears and talk about the IRS's parent agency, the Treasury Department. How many people in the Treasury Department know? The few Treasury Department executives who know the truth will be found in three departments. One is the Treasury's General Counsel Office. Another is the Office of Tax Policy, as well as its subunit, the Tax Legislative Council. Just as with the IRS, the one or two attorneys in the General Counsel's Office who know the truth will be very senior so they can pull cases from subordinates who are placing the scam at risk. The Office of Tax Policy is where attorneys draft tax legislation that will be submitted to Congress. You'll recall I told you that over a span of 112 years, 100% of the statutes, regs, and Treasury decisions have restricted the income tax to only the three classes we discussed. How would that be possible if very senior people in the office that drafts legislation don't know the truth. The Tax Legislative Council is a subunit of the Office of Tax Policy and drafts legislation specific to domestic income tax matters. Because the only domestic aspect of income tax is U.S. persons acting as the domestic agents of foreign persons with U.S. source income, key attorneys there must know the truth, or, as we discussed earlier, the false societal narrative of the income tax would have worked its way into the law long ago. Because that hasn't happened, we know there are gatekeepers in that unit preventing that from happening. As with the IRS, I estimate that no more than 10 people in the Treasury Department know the truth. What about the U.S. Department of Justice Tax Division? How many of the 400 Tax Division attorneys know the truth? Almost certainly fewer than in the IRS and Treasury. That's because cases come to the DOJ's Tax Division through the IRS or Treasury. Because the IRS and Treasury have people in place to quash cases that might bring the truth to light, it's highly unlikely such cases reach the point where they are referred to DOJ. I'd guess that as a backup, DOJ's Tax Division has perhaps one or two very senior attorneys who know the truth. So, 3 million people work for the federal government. Based on what we've covered so far, perhaps 22 people out of 3 million know the truth. Those 22 people are the gatekeepers, the protector of the largest financial crime in history. As bad as that is, in the big picture, they're just functionaries. We might analogize them to traffic cops. When an American who knows the truth of the income tax presents the truth via properly structured due process, these traffic cops simply turn on the red light, shutting down any further enforcement against that person. Perhaps you're now grasping how the government's need to maintain its subterfuge can so easily be used against it. While the societal narrative is that the IRS is the 900-pound gorilla, when you know the IRS's institutional weakness and how to use it, the equation shifts. You become Conan the Barbarian, and the IRS turns into Pee Wee Herman. So, who at the top of the U.S. power structure, outside government, knows? When we look beyond government agencies, there are no clear answers. The effort to hide a scam worth $3 trillion a year isn't led by anyone in the agencies we've discussed. The concealment of the truth is controlled by incredibly powerful people outside government. We're talking about a handful of the approximately 1,000 billionaires in the United States. Possibles include people such as Warren Buffett, founder of Berkshire Hathaway, Michael Bloomberg, founder of Bloomberg LP, Stephen Schwarzman, co-founder of Blackstone, and Abigail Johnson, CEO of Fidelity Investments. Speaking of Abigail Johnson, I have personal knowledge of a case in which an investment client with hundreds of millions of dollars invested through Fidelity had all her accounts closed after sending a letter to Fidelity detailing upon whom the tax has been imposed and upon whom it has not. Her point, of course, was that she is not a person upon whom the tax has been imposed. Since this woman is the picture-perfect profile of the kind of people Fidelity wants as clients, why would it have closed all her accounts simply because she sent them a detailed analysis of the law? Allow me to explain. The lady explained to Fidelity that she was not a non-resident alien or a foreign corporation with U.S. source income, nor was she a U.S. person with custody and control of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. Therefore, the W-9s required of her when the accounts were opened, well before she learned the truth, were invalid. Further, since all information reporting, such as 1099s, is only required for the purpose of keeping track of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person, she instructed Fidelity to no longer file 1099s regarding her accounts. In short, she simply showed Fidelity the law and instructed Fidelity to act in accordance with it. I've been at this game a long time. When people tell their financial institutions to do this and such, the institutions virtually always ignore them. The institutions don't pay much attention to such communications because 99.9% of the time, the account holder has no clue what they're talking about, or the information is presented in a way that it can be easily dismissed. That was not the case with the documentation this lady sent to Fidelity. It was lengthy, highly detailed, and 100% factual. But again, why would an accurate, lengthy, and detailed recitation of law cause Fidelity to close the accounts? Answer, because her documents ended up on the desk of Fidelity's top lawyer, who knew that her positions were legally spot on. He knew that because he knows the truth. You will recall that the truth cannot be allowed into a courtroom. If Fidelity had ignored this wealthy woman's instructions and legally harmed her by filing 1099s outside what the law permits, and she took Fidelity to court seeking compensation for that harm, then what the law really says would have been admissible in court as evidence of the communication that had taken place between the lady and Fidelity. Such a lawsuit would have had two ramifications. The first, which I just mentioned, is the law. The kryptonite would be introduced as evidence in a federal court for all to see. The closely related second ramification is that Fidelity would have lost the case in a hot second because there is no effective rebuttal to what the law actually says, and Fidelity knows that. The consequence of Fidelity losing the suit would have resounded throughout the financial industry. Every financial institution in America would have had to stop demanding W-9s from Americans opening accounts and stop filing 1099s against Americans with accounts containing only the account holder's own money. Those changes taking place across the entire financial industry would break the back of the income tax scam. So, with Abigail Johnson as Fidelity's CEO, it doesn't surprise me that Fidelity cut loose a major investor to keep the truth from getting into court and destroying how the scam's framework operates in the financial industry. I've mentioned a couple of times that what we've discussed today is great news for you and, by association, all Americans. Why is it great? It's great because, as we've discussed, the government cannot allow the kryptonite to get into a courtroom. Let's say you're not within one of the three classes, and because of that, you're not filing returns or paying income tax. In other words, you're obeying the law. Several years down the road, you get a letter from the IRS saying they believe you are required to file. Keep in mind, that letter is sent to you by the IRS's computer. No human is involved, and the IRS has no idea you possess kryptonite. At that point, you get to do something incredibly satisfying. You get to make the IRS leave you alone. Most Americans fear the IRS. I understand that. They've never read a word of tax law. They have no idea about the three classes, and they don't know anything about due process. It is reasonable to fear any government agency when three things are true. Number one, the person is ignorant of the subject matter. Number two, the person is ignorant about the limitations of the agency's jurisdiction. And number three, the person is ignorant of how to effectively communicate with an agency using the constitutionally mandated right of due process. The thing I'd like to get across to my countrymen is that it is easy to cure numbers one and two. There is zero reason for any American to be ignorant of what income tax law really says, or the IRS's jurisdiction, which is limited to those within the three classes we've discussed. Every American can know and understand those truths simply by reading Income Tax Shattering the Myths. It really is that simple. When I learned the truth about the income tax in the early 90s, I immediately stopped filing and paying. It was never about the money. For me, it's always been about the fact that our servant government does not get to steal from us based on propaganda and intimidation. Back when I first learned the truth, the path was difficult. There was no comprehensive compendium to give a person all the knowledge they needed to be 100% certain the tax didn't apply to them. I wrote Income Tax Shattering the Myths to give my countrymen what did not exist back when I discovered the truth more than three decades ago. I did 17 years of legal research before writing Income Tax Shattering the Myths. That's why Income Tax Shattering the Myths contains mountains of evidence presented in a way every American can understand, and its conclusions are indisputable. Today, no one needs to do years of research to find the truth. They have access to everything they need to know in one book. Income Tax Shattering the Myths has been setting Americans free since 2010. What about point number three, having a proper understanding of how to effectively communicate with an agency using due process? A lot of people reach out to me when they haven't filed for several years and they get a letter from the IRS saying they need to file. One of the things I enjoy most is seeing the emotional weight, the stress, lift off a person's shoulders when they realize they hold the power, not the IRS. It's rewarding to see the change that comes over them when they understand that by following a few basic principles, they can force the IRS to leave them alone. They can literally make the IRS fuck off. There are protocols for people who haven't filed in some time, but may not have prepared for receiving a letter from the IRS. There are also protocols for people who want to exit the income tax scam and create a proper documentary record, and for everything in between. They all have a 100% success rate, making the IRS leave you alone. If you're ready to be a free American, feel free to reach out to me at dave@drreality.news. As I close, since we're about 90 days from Christmas, I'm announcing the big Christmas special. When you use the code XMAS25 at checkout, I will inscribe and autograph your books, and you get free shipping. The special applies to Income Tax Shattering the Myths, Income Tax Shattering the Myths and Body Science Ordered Together, and the 4-pack. I'm going to suggest you purchase the 4-pack containing Income Tax Shattering the Myths, the Business Guide to Payroll Withholding, the Business Handbook for Form W-9, 1099, and U.S. Person, and Body Science. The first reason to get the 4-pack is the price is deeply discounted from purchasing the four items individually. The second reason is that in addition to it being deeply discounted, when you use the code XMAS25, you get free shipping, and I'll inscribe and autograph your books. Also, purchasing any of my writings helps me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. If you found today's content intriguing and compelling, please help spread the word by sharing this video far and wide. Thank you for spending your time with me today. I hope you consider it time well spent.